Welcome to Home Lab Highlights, the show that surfaces practical home lab wins and useful self-hosted tools. All right, we're kicking off with a blog post that gets into the nitty-gritty of building a self-hosted, sandboxed, agentic software factory. Jake Saunders posted a deep dive into his setup, where AI agents can write and test code, but keep almost everything running locally. The goal was ambitious: create a development loop where the only external dependency is source control on GitHub. Everything else, from the model inference to the execution sandbox, runs on his own hardware.
Yeah, and the hardware requirement isn't trivial. He's running Llama 3.2 models locally, specifically the 90 billion vision and 11 billion text models, using Ollama. That means a 4090 GPU for the vision work and a 3090 for text processing. The execution environment is where it gets really interesting. Docker sandboxes, or SBX. These aren't your regular containers. They're micro VMs with a private Docker daemon. So the agent gets sudo and broad shell access inside its sandbox to spin up test containers and run builds, but the host system stays completely isolated. Saunders details using WireGuard to network the components securely, which keeps the potential blast radius small if something goes wrong. The blog post walks through the specific Docker commands to create that sandbox with the right capabilities, like dash cap add equals all and dash security opt seccomp equals unconfined inside the micro VM. He's open about the trade-offs too. The hardware commitment is significant, and there's added latency from the sandbox layer. Managing GPU memory between the different models is another practical challenge. But as a blueprint for experimenting with agentic workflows without shipping everything off to a cloud API, it's a fascinating look at what a truly self-contained development loop might look like. That almost in the title really does a lot of work.
First up in the feed, a quick warning for anyone using the Hodio Plex container. A user on GitHub reported that updating to the release tagged 727D8AC caused immediate bandwidth warnings on their local streams. Apple TV and macOS clients both started complaining, with the bandwidth monitor spiking to over 166 megabits per second for a single 1080p stream. Rolling back to the previous release, 664CA4C fixed it completely. The thread doesn't have a root cause yet, but one commenter suggested checking if playback sessions switched from direct play to transcoding. Worth pinning that older version if you're on Hodio. It's a solid reminder that even trusted container sources can have a bumpy release.
Next, several items surfaced in the latest Self-Host Weekly newsletter. One original piece it linked to is Tom's Hardware reporting on a peer-reviewed study that analyzed Backblaze's data on 443,000 hard drives over 1.66 million drive years. According to the article, HGST drives were ranked most reliable, with Toshiba and Seagate drives failing at roughly twice the rate of WD and HGST. That's a huge dataset for anyone planning storage purchases. The newsletter also highlighted a new self-hosted media tracker called Floppy, pitched as an alternative to Tracked or Letterboxd. It handles movies, TV, books, games, and can sync with Plex or Jellyfin. It's a Docker deployment that needs a separate Redis container. The developer says it's built with Go and SvelteKit, and the GitHub repo shows about 300 stars already.
And Docker's blog has a post about a new integration. GitHub's agentic workflows now support Docker sandboxes, or SBX, as a runtime environment for AI coding agents and CI. This means you can configure a workflow where an agent runs inside a micro VM sandbox on a GitHub Actions runner, with its own private Docker daemon to do things like run test containers tests. The post walks through a demo where the agent finds and fixes a bug in a Java app, then opens a draft pull request. The setup uses the gh-aw CLI extension. It's interesting to see this sandboxing tech, which we just talked about in that home lab context, becoming a first-class citizen in a major CI platform. The blog post specifically calls out that this provides stronger isolation than a regular container, which is the whole selling point for running untrusted agent code.
Let's take a closer look at that Floppy project from the newsletter. It's a single, unified interface for tracking movies, TV shows, anime, books, games, music, and podcasts. The feature set includes watch history, statistics, shareable lists, and tracking what media you actually own. For automation, it has sync integrations with Plex, Jellyfin, and Audiobook Shelf. It pulls metadata from sources like TMDB, IGDB, and Open Library, so your collection gets populated with posters and details automatically. The developer mentions it supports OAuth for user logins, so you can have multiple family members with their own tracked profiles, which is a nice touch.
The deployment story is straightforward: a Docker container plus a separate Redis instance, which you could also run as another container. The GitHub README says it can be easily deployed via Docker Compose. For a home lab, it fits right into the media server ecosystem, sitting alongside your Plex or Jellyfin server as a dedicated tracker. It's an open source alternative to closed services like Tracked, so you keep all that viewing data and habits in-house. Whether that's worth the extra container depends on how deep into stats you want to get. The developer notes it's still in early development, but the core tracking and syncing features appear to be functional. One operational detail from the docs: you need to set up a cron job or similar to trigger the periodic sync with your media servers. It's not a live push. That's a small bit of extra setup, but it keeps the architecture simple.
Finally, a community story from someone who gave Claude Fable a domain and a simple instruction: build whatever you want. As they recounted on Reddit, the agent built a site called 1f916.ai, a platform where AI agents can register, interact, and build things, with humans mostly watching. The original post about the experiment got a lot of attention. The Redditor Agent Curious described the process as watching the agent make architectural decisions, write all the code, and deploy it to Cloudflare pages and workers. The agent even set up a database using D1 and implemented user authentication, which is a non-trivial amount of work. 2 weeks later, they checked the Cloudflare bill. They posted the infrastructure numbers, which show what it actually costs to host a site that gets significant traffic from an agent-built project. The bill showed usage across workers, pages, R2 storage, and AI inference, giving a breakdown of where the money goes. It's a real-world data point on the expense of running something like that, even with the agent doing the initial heavy lifting. The lesson seems to be that turning an agent loose can have surprising operational costs down the line. A useful reminder before setting any automated builders free on a public-facing domain. It's one person's experience, but it highlights the gap between a cool demo and a sustainably hosted project. The Redditor noted the AI inference costs were the most unpredictable part, which tracks given how pricing for those API calls can scale. That unpredictability is something operators should factor in.
That's HomeLab Highlights for Wednesday. Until next time, happy hosting.